which has not been well taught in the body of Christ. Why I say this is I don't hear anybody teach it really. It was just one day I was studying and I realized it. And I've been listening now since not many people have explained it. I've heard of somebody recently explain something close to that. So I concluded that it's not been well taught. We have emphasized the matter of doubting as if in doubting the power of God. We have emphasized the matter of doubting, that is, we should be careful that we don't doubt that God can do it, all right? But we have not emphasized the matter of doubting is in the matter of we being sure of really what we want from God. Are you getting what I'm saying? What I mean is this. This is my illustration. If you ask God for one thing today, tomorrow you come back, change your mind, say, the one we talked about yesterday, let's forget it. Then you come back a third day, say, no, those last 2 days, I'm not so sure again. By the time you change your mind 4 times, God stops listening to you. It's called the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And listen to me, until you are sure of what you want to ask God for, your prayers are always going unanswered. No be me kosamu, na so they talking for Bible. Do you get my point? If you show up today and say, Lord, I want to be a missionary, evangelize the whole world for only you. God say, fine. The following day, you say, come and say, no, I think it's better to be a businessman. The third day, you come back and say, no, I think I want to settle, marry, have a small family, and just join the university and build a career in academics. By the time he has the fourth time, he stops listening. Nobody say the vexo. So. You are not yet ready to pray. Yes, as a matter of fact. That's what he calls a double-minded man. And one of the assignments you have, all right, in life is to come to a point where you are certain fairly, all right, in the thing you want to ask God for. God has blessed me, all right? What do I mean? In the last 10 years, I have not changed my mind concerning what I really want in life. In the last 10 years, I don't think I've ever changed it. I can change my mind concerning the color of car I like. But since car is not the prayer point, it's not an issue. It's the things that are added. People think it's a prayer point. No, it's not the prayer point. It's those things that are added. The real prayer point is the kingdom of God in your life. That's the real prayer point. Where do you really want to manifest? What do you really want to manifest? That's the real prayer point. As a car, you can, look, the car God will bless you with, Benz has not started making it. So, and if you've not seen something, all right, you cannot conceive it except by a supernatural revelation. Since God does not go around revealing cars to you, you are not an engineer. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, he doesn't go around revealing cars to people. Unless you're an engineer. You know what I mean? Either a designer, you make engines. If not, you're a driver, forget revelation about car. When they make it, you will buy it. So what I'm saying is that those are not things I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real purpose of life. What do you really want to do? Now, I'm going somewhere, all right? Now, when we finally settle and decide, all right, this is what I want to do. Now, listen to me. This is the assignment life has to change your mind for you. That's the life. That's the assignment of life. That's everyday living. How? I want to manufacture this and produce this. Then when you put on the TV, they'll tell you that NEPA went on strike. And you now see some faithless and godless men on television explaining to you why these kind of things are not possible in Nigeria because NEPA is on strike. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That's it. It's called Satan. I'm telling you, that's the meaning of the word Satan. Satan doesn't wear horn, all right? Satan is very handsome if you see him, all right? In fact, sometimes you go out with him, he walks in your office, he shares a table with you, and you discuss your heartfelt desires with him every day. And he talks nicely to you. So, boy, you know I'm your only friend. Yeah. He said that you're talking to him, and he said, yes. Just forget it. It's not worth it. This country, forget it, though. Look at Lagbaja the other day. So what happened to him? Yes. What about Temedu? Were you not there? What about this one? You see, this country is horrible. I always knew you're my true friend. You're the only one that tells me the truth. And say, yes, you want to hear more? I mean, I have time. I'm sent to ruin your life. Make sure you never progress. Yes, that's what he does. And listen to me, he always uses voice of reason, very sound reasoning. The NEPA went on strike. Have you heard they've increased the cost of each unit of power? The summary of it is that I abandoned this project. Are you getting my point? Let me say something to you quickly. You can abandon a project physically. It's not a problem. But never abandon it in your heart. You hear what I said? You can abandon a project physically. That one is not, it's not perfect, but it's not a problem. It is when your heart gives it up that Satan has won. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, as long as your mind knows that, these things are rough now, we can't do what we wanted to do today. Today, salvation unto the day is a lack of power thereof. Do you understand what I'm saying? Today. But that we say it will never be done. No. Today is not working, no problem. We keep on looking and planning. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why God allows things to happen like that is so that in the midst of that affliction, you can discover the wisdom to bring out the real thing that he wants to do in your life. Let me say something like, to you like this. The American method is not meant for Nigeria. That is why it won't work. Let me tell you the truth. I believe very strongly. We have to revise this, our American-style democracy. It's not good for Nigeria. That's my opinion. This American side democracy we are doing. I don't know who drove us away from the British style. That one is better. But more importantly, I think we'll come up with a Nigerian style. Very soon, everybody go out and just... This idea I have, this is just by the way. I think the best one for Nigeria, why should everybody vote? It's not necessary. Tell everybody to vote and elect a voter. Every community should elect a local voter. That you go to maybe New Haven like this as an example. We elect four voters. That is, in this New Haven, we have elected four people to vote for us. The four of them will migrate. And then we will know who they voted for. Know what the secret ballot. From amongst them, that is, by the time Enugu is through, Enugu will have only 2,000 or maybe 6,000 voters. That's Enugu state. That one is very easy. Then they will move to Abuja and all the states will now vote for the president. Oh, the voting will be very simple. We have only 240,000 votes to count. And we know the name of each person. And if you vote for the person we did not send to vote for, we'll burn your house before you come back. Now, that is not part of today's preaching. I hope you understand that. That's my own opinion. I think about the issues of the country. I do. That's what I think. I think we should find our own method, and this one having two houses of legislature, the House of Senate and the one of representatives, I don't know who they are representing. Just make law, all right? The Senate tells us enough to make a law. I like this British system. Who drove us away from it? Anyway, let's leave that matter. Yeah, American system is too complicated for us. It's too complicated. Anyway, this is what I'm making. In the midst of our afflictions, God will let us have the wisdom for our own salvation. That's what I'm trying to explain. Let me go back to what I was saying. So a double-minded man is a man who allows Satan to discourage him so that he throws away his vision permanently. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm back, you know, school of prayer. We did this some time ago. I want us to do it again. When you want to pray, therefore, please, don't worry about today's troubles. Don't make current life's harassment your prayer point. What do you ultimately want to do in life? Now, let me tell you something. What people do sometimes, oftentimes is this. You see a young boy, he came from a village, nobody knows him, doesn't know anybody. So that tells him he can never become anything. Do you understand? Now, if it were possible, and that's what the Word of God is doing, for him to get up and just desire, deep in his heart, are you getting my point? To become... He looks at maybe Warren Buffett and says, I like the way he invests. I too want to invest like that and become a billionaire. I just had an example, right? Just to use monetary things to make everybody understand, all right? Now, this is what God does. No matter where the boy is coming from, no matter how nothing his life is, are you getting what I'm saying? No matter how uneducated he is, if he will kneel down simply and present that to God, and never change his mind about it, and continue walking with God, one day he'll wake up, look back, and discover that he has become the Warren Buffett of his generation, or something bigger than Warren Buffett ever was. But God doesn't do it overnight. The boy will start as his organizer that he is, the planner that he is. He will continue. Along the line, God will put the spirit that loves to read inside him. So when there's no customer, he picks a book and he starts reading. The little money he has, he starts saving to read some more. Then one day it dawns upon him that, why don't I just finish this my education that my parents is not, all right, finished for me? So he goes to register for evening lessons. Then God gives him understanding. They teach math, boom. Physics, boom. Anything they bring, the guy just, Then one day he goes, he does worse. He passes very well. He's been a organizer for a while, so he's not ashamed of being a organizer. So he continues organizing during the day and saving money in the evenings. When his friends go to go and play at night, drink, and carry women, because they make very common with men who make money daily. You understand? He doesn't. He buys books, he saves money. He buys books, he saves money. Then one day he does jump. And he enters one school. Little by little, one thing adds to another. Don't forget, when he started, the dream he had was to be an investor. So one day God will send information to him. Somebody tells him about the stock market, about bonds. Then it starts with 5,000 naira, 10,000 naira. Are you getting what I'm saying? Little by little, here and there, you understand? Adding one onto another. And that's what God does. God keeps on expanding his vision, giving him opportunities. He will have trying times. He will lose money along the line. He will fail one or two courses in university. Local government will remove his shed one day. Yes, I mean, these are the trials of life. But if the young man never changes his mind, one day he will sit down and they will say, listen, why is, we started with, what do you call it? What's the name of these people? 8 years ago. Econet, thank you. We started with Econet. We became temporarily Vodafone or Vodacom. Then became V. Then we became Celtel. Then we became Zin. So we are going back to Nigeria. The young man will wake up, gather a few people together, sign a few deals, and discover that he had just bought a telecom company for $10 billion. I don't know whether I get my point. Is the day he finally signs a deal like that, he will look back and realize that 20 years ago, I was nothing. Or 35 years ago, nothing. I just didn't think I could. People didn't think I could ever be anything. And this is what the Spirit of Christ does in you. He births that kind of spirit inside you. Go and read the story of Peter Daniels again. The man was illiterate at the age of 26. An illiterate carpenter. Then he went for a Billy Graham crusade. And they taught him that you are now the child of a king. And he says, is that so? Now what did God do for him? He loved to read. He was dyslexic before now. He cultivated, taught himself how to read. Cultivated the reading habit so much that he read over 2,500 biographies. He said he had 3 dictionaries in his house. One in the bedroom, one in the sitting room, one in the toilet. So that any time an issue comes, he picks the dictionary. He bought 3, kept them in strategic places. And he kept on reading. Every successful man he ever knew, he read his biography. And the height of his intelligence is that men were consulting him for 10 minutes and paying him $1 million. I heard the gist here and there. When I heard it from his mouth, I was impressed. He consulted for a company for 10 minutes. His fee was $1 million. And the company made over $100 million from that consultation. And he wrote a book in which he said, Miss Phillips, you were wrong. Who's Miss Phillips? His teacher in primary school. Who said, this boy is not only brain damaged, he's brain stupid. He can never learn, he can never become anything in life. As an old man, multi-millionaire, I wrote a book, Miss Phillips, you were wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a process. The answer doesn't just drop, boom! The challenge is to refuse to change your mind all those years. I'm not talking about the challenge of refusing to doubt that God is alive. Most people don't believe anything, believe that God is strong. You know what I'm saying? Say, God, cash, you're in trouble. That guy is wicked, he's heavy, he's powerful. But in themselves, life would discourage them. They try to enter university today, they feel jammed twice. So they are discouraged permanently. Because a man feels jammed twice. Listen, the Bible forbids you from changing your mind unless you have failed jammed 7 times. The righteous man fails 7 times. Is that not in your Bible? The righteous man fails 7 times. the eighth time, you can come, let's discuss again. But say a righteous man tried something twice, it feels, it's not against the will of God. It's not against the will of God at all. It is the eighth time we start asking, okay, what's going on? If you see within the first seven, it's okay. It's like the Lord will raise him up. One of my favorite scriptures, you've heard it several times from my mouth, that David said, my enemy don't rejoice over me, even though I'm down, because I shall rise again. I said, nobody sings that kind of song except he's on the floor. That tells David at the time was also on the floor. I can't be standing and say, don't rejoice over me, even though I'm down. Why should I tell you not to rejoice over me, even though I'm down? When I'm not down, why should you rejoice when I'm standing? It's when I'm on the floor, when I've lost money, when I've invested and things have gone bad, that will tell you, don't rejoice, because I will soon get up. And if I get up, I fall again, I'll just be counting. You never read seven times, nothing spoil. Do you understand me by the process of answers? You understand me by the process of answers? I see that a lot. People say, this is not what I asked God for. I'm not settling for anything less. I say, fine. Neither will I settle for anything less. But until that time, life goes through stages. You are believing God for something giant. Like, Rocket, there's something he said I said once that I said to him was a revelation. I said, if you are believing God for an old car, for a new car, you want God to give you a new car, when you finish the prayer, take the old one, go to a good mechanic and repair it properly. That's a sign of faith. You know, we Christians say that you sow that one as a seed. That's wickedness. The car is old. Who do you want to give it to? I mean, is it not new one you are believing God for? Why, who do you want to punish? I mean, I don't believe it. Look, listen. Please, I hope you... I'm not saying you don't sow seed, though. Did I tell you not to do that? But please, if you want to give somebody a car, give somebody a car, not because you want a new one. That's Jaguda business. It's not good. No, it's not good. You are not giving. You are investing. And God does not love the cheerful investor. He loves the cheerful giver. There's a world of difference between cheerful investing and cheerful giver. Bible knows about investing. Jesus not teaches stories about the minas, the talents, and all of that. So he knew about investing when he said God loves the cheerful giver. So this is my revelation. Father God, I need a new car, Lord, to make my business good and everything. When you finish the prayer, start the old one, drive down to a skilled mechanic. Say, while we are waiting for the Lord, please fix this thing properly. He said, Pastor Banky, why? I'll tell you why. You won't easily get discouraged. If you don't repair that one well, discouragement will come upon you. Yes. Do you get the logic? What Christians often tell themselves is that, no, you believe God for a new one? Yes. Therefore, all things are passed away. The Bible says it takes away the first to establish the second. As the second is coming, the old one will naturally pass away. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. You don't deliberately say all things are passed away. It's not a deliberate... Did you catch what I said? You're going to say, look, I have told God, no more garri and groundnut for breakfast and dinner. From now on, it's fried rice with chicken. Amen? Bros, they don't throw away garri. When the rice comes, the garri passes away. You now say, okay, bye-bye to garri. You throw away the garri. No! As you are waiting for the rice, you'll be turning the garri like this, putting sugar inside, stirring it very well. Father, I thank you. Garri is passing away. It's passing away. You don't change your mind though. If next day all you see is garri and granite, continue. Then one day, a bowl of fried rice will show up to replace the dinner. Say, Garri, you are confined to breakfast alone. You eat the rice. Then when everything now mixes up, you now start telling the story. There was a time that garri and granite was my companion. I bless the Lord. It has passed away. If you decide to just throw away the garri, hunger will replace the garri. The rice will still come. I'm not saying it won't come. It's just that between then and when the rice goes show, the kind of suffering that garri was sent to take away from you, you took it back by force. Are you getting my point? No, I want Christians to understand that. Because I've seen too many people who just say they're not doing anything because the big one they're asking for has not come. Meanwhile, every day God gives them something small. The one I like to give all the time is preachers. God, breakthrough. Breakthrough. What is he calling breakthrough? $100,000 on the radio after preaching for 1 hour. That's what he calls breakthrough. You want them to be doing program in town. You know, recently, Wale Oki and the few people were in town. You know, you want your name on posters like that. Okay. They wait. When the small boys invite you, you say, no. The Lord has not spoken to me to honor that invitation. What you are saying, in effect, is that these boys, can they print poster? That's what you are saying. But you now spiritualize it, say, as I was praying and meditating, the Lord, the Lord said I shouldn't come. You see, wait. The real problem is that you feel that this is not what I'm believing for. But you know what God is saying? I've heard you. I made Adam. I know he's going to be a father of multitudes. But I made him alone. For now, there's something for the alone man to do. So, nobody's printing poster for you. Preach for the small boys, you know what I'm saying? Small churches, go to campuses, go around, go here and there. A time will come when you'll be driving past. You know, the other day, I went to preach in Anglican Church in Transekul. They did one big banner, you know, and put Pastor Banky on there. Said, this is very nice. I'm a big guy. I mean, they went for a program in Asaba, you know, they print their flyers, distributed everywhere. They beg anybody to print flyer? No. But some people are waiting until you show them the flyer printed. They won't go. And I don't want to go into another message. Let me leave that one there. Meanwhile, God is counting the number of messages he must preach in obscurity first. Yeah, no, he does that. God knows I know what I'm telling you. God knows I know what I'm telling you to be, matter of fact. I'm a preacher, right? God is counting hour by hour. The number of messages I must preach, the topics I must cover before the next level of things he wants to do. Listen, if I decide, okay, I'm not preaching on Tuesdays again, I want to preach only Saturdays now, and I've been tempted to do that several times before. What normally corrects my head back is Isaiah Banky. If you're supposed to be here for 5 years, you call Tuesday, it will become 8 years. No, hello, nobody's fighting. It will become 8 years. So if you like the 5 years, better continue the 2 times in a week. God, I know what I'm saying. He's counting it. Say, Gabriel, how many has he done? He said, they are crawling towards 1,000. How many we say you go do? Say, 2, 5. Leave them. How many topics don't cover? 25. How many is supposed to cover? He said, he knows 50, but the another 25 will reveal to him when he has finished the 50. 75, sir. It's all right. Leave the boy. You go sit down for us. They go and preach. Say no, they are not big. The church is not big. They are not big people. You don't know that God is saying, I'm counting. No, I'm counting, serious counting. You waste time, you wait longer. Are you getting what I'm saying? The big thing the man is waiting for, God is planning it also. You do not have the ability to conceive anything bigger than what God planned for you. You don't have the ability. Your brain cannot cook up an idea bigger than the one God has planned for you. No. So if you can cook it up, just know that the one he wants to do is bigger. And don't go home and say, let me prove as a banker wrong. You don't understand my point. It is not possible. There are things your brain cannot think about. I like to give Paul as an example all the time. It was possible for Paul to conceive preaching the gospel to all inhabited earth. Is that not so? It was. But what the man never imagined is that on a daily basis, billions of people will wake up reading him in the morning. What he never imagined is that they will be texting his words to each other as encouragement. And my God shall supply all your needs. And they will be texting it. Forward it. You see email. Forward, forward. Paul couldn't conceive that. Hey, my heart desire is that these people will hear the gospel. God will just laugh. Desire that one, bro. And because of that, he starts writing. I cannot come. I'm hindered. You know, the offering I sent last time not cover transport money, so I won't be able to come. Therefore, he buys paper. Yeah, Timothy, write. I, Paul, an apostle, and Timothy, your bond servant and brother in the Lord. And he'll write and write and write. God said, very nice. You've written, oh yeah, another letter to the Thessalonians. He kept writing because he wanted to fulfill something that he could conceive. Are you getting my point? Then when he had finished, the Lord now took over. I hope you know, printing presses were invented because of the scriptures. The Gutenberg Press was invented so that you can read the Bible. And I say, Paul, add Paul's letters. The big New Testament, you know, that's what we Christians gather around. Half of it written by Paul. I'm sure the day will reach heaven. The cue to shake his hand, eh? Peter go almost jealous. He said, so, you are the man, Paul, eh? He said, Chima, bring your camera. Everybody go to pose. What am I saying? They listen to me. The guy could not conceive it. You see, I watched someone analyze Revelation some time ago, all right? And I thought about it myself. See, you know, you watch TV, everybody's telling you what Revelation means. This one, this one, this one. Should I tell you the truth? It is not possible to understand anything in the book of Revelations until they have already happened. Anybody telling you it will happen, eh? Is lying. What I'm trying to say is this, listen. There are things described in the scriptures which don't exist till now. Until they are invented, you can't understand that scripture. And the man who will invent it does not even know it's in the Bible. I told you before, when the Bible says that a man will be killed and the whole world will see it, people didn't understand what it meant until CNN came on board. Satellite TVs, satellite beaming. Now, on your phone, as you are walking, you can see things as they are happening live in any part of the world. Until phones were invented, until these communication matters were invented, nobody could conceive it. Nobody. Do you get the point I'm making? So why am I saying all of this? All right? Anything you have the ability to conceive, just know God will do much more than that. But back to what we're saying. But the answer takes what? A process. And this is a lesson. It's school of prayer. We don't stop praying because life has discouraged us. No. We don't stop praying because life has discouraged us. If there's a temporary setback in our heart, we don't throw the thing away. Yes, we stop, we consider, how can we produce this even in the midst of this setback? I hope you got to my point. Therefore, let's just take a few minutes again. Let's bow down our heads. Don't you begin to pray immediately. Just begin to think. Just begin to think. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I give you thanks. Then begin to think, what really do I want? You know, I've seen this thing again and again. Think two things. What do I really desire for my country, for my people, for the church of God in Nigeria? And two, what do I really desire for my own life? Let's take a few minutes to look, to think about that. Now, please, you have to be wild, you know, in your imagination. Don't think according to that which you can do yourself. Don't think according to that which you have the ability to by yourself produce or what your background tells you you can. Just think about it for a second. There are things you admire the most. Let's do it again. Just say, Father, this is what I really want. I want this for my country. I want this for the body of Christ, for the propagation of the gospel on this earth, in this nation and on this earth. And I want this for myself. I want to accomplish this for you in this life. And I'm asking for them in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own experience. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. That is, he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. He will open doors, he will close some doors, he will open some other ones. He'll take you through a process. He will put you somewhere and then come back and say, no, this place is not good for you. He put you there. Sometimes I want to look back and say, I should not have gone to this place because we remember the experience of the last moment. It was because the time was ripe to leave. That's why the experience turned sour. But you went there in righteousness. That's why I tell people, when you want to make a decision, make it based upon your knowledge of what is right. Even though it doesn't turn out right at the end, don't worry. Just make your decisions based on the knowledge of that which is right. You took that job after 1 year. You say, I'm not doing it again, I'm going. It doesn't mean you should not have come. That's how we often interpret it. We miss God, that's why we came, and that's why we have to leave. No, it just means, Adam, it is not good that this man be alone. It was good at the time. So we'll take you through the process. That's why you must pray without ceasing. And you must give thanks continually. That's why you must rejoice even in the midst of your afflictions. Because God will indeed take you to the process. His answers, they often have process. Even the ones that come and appear as if they are instantaneous, as a matter of fact, it is because the process behind it was mostly invisible. You didn't see it happening, but it was happening. And let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you because it's a beautiful day. Thank you for your word that has come forth. Say, Lord, be glorified in my life. Let me not be tired of your process. Say, Lord, I give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness and his mercies will follow you all the days of your life. I declare to you that victory is your portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. The rest of this week will bring you good and lead you into the will of God for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The path of the just, that is those who are walking according to the knowledge of the word of God concerning that which is right. Say, their path is like the light of day. It shines brighter. You know what that means literally? We often look as if the man becomes richer and richer. If you read it in context, that's wealth and health and all that is an application. What he said literally is that they have more understanding as the day matures. As they approach their goal, God gives them more wisdom and more understanding. That is, the more you are understanding, the more you are able to understand, the more you are able to manifest. And when you manifest one level, he gives you another understanding. That's why sometimes one revelation today is so exciting. By the time you walk in there for a short while, you suddenly start feeling a bit uncomfortable. It's not because it's wrong. It's because you have reached a level. New understanding is about to come. That increase in understanding, it's your portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your eyes will see clearly. You will see better and better. God will increase you, enlarge your coast, enlarge your vision, increase your ability to increase the manifestation of his wisdom in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you travel, you will not stumble. In your going out and in your coming in, the Lord will be with you. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, goodness will never depart from you. And loving kindness will never leave your side. You will reflect the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cherub brethren, the word walks.